worship God. We're here to learn what we can to be more faithful to God. And this past year has been really a challenge on everybody, as we talked about in class this morning. And we have to ask the question, have I increased my spirituality in the last year? And probably for most of us, the answer will be no, because we've let things get in the way. One of the things that's gotten in the way has been our own selfishness. Our own selfish desires is what has kept us from serving God the way we should. So we need to get beyond that. I may have to connect here. So we're going to take some time and study this subject of selfishness. See, we're going to look and see some examples from the Bible and then find out what we can do to avoid this plague of selfishness. And we got to figure out what selfishness is and what it does to us. All right, selfishness is a problem that has plagued mankind since the beginning of time. From Eve all the way down, it's been there. In Genesis 3:6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, at least for her own, her body, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, whose eyes? Of course, hers. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. And who would be wise? Well, she would be wise. And so she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So from this time on, selfishness has taken root with men. And we know that. Selfishness, that's just one of the characteristics of mankind, of everybody. And that includes you and me. We both have this problem. We all have this problem. And so we're going to look at that. It's a plague upon mankind, and we're going to notice why it's a plague. You know, why would a husband or wife leave their spouse and children? I mean, why would they? Well, why would someone destroy their body with drugs? Why would they do that? I mean, why would they destroy their mind by filling it with filth and lewd things? Pornography and things like that. I mean, why would they destroy their influence in letting the world see them in various states of undress and filthy language, etc.? Why do these things take place? The only answer is selfishness. And really, when you come down to selfishness, it basically translates into because I want to. And that's where it is. See, selfishness is a problem we all face. And selfishness is a combination of three root words. Self means a person or thing or individual. Ish, belonging to or after the manner of, inclined or tending to. And then ness, denoting the quality or the state. All these comes from Webster. And therefore, selfishness is the quality or state of being concerned only for the things that are inclined toward or being to the individual, namely me. In other words, if it takes care of me, that's all that matters. And that's what selfishness is. It's basically, I am the most important. Nobody else really matters. And you'll see that's the case every time selfishness is employed. It's always about me, what I want to do. And even when we do sins that we're not even thinking about, we still did it. Why do we do anything? You know, we could be like the teenager said, well, I don't know. No, the only honest answer is because I wanted to. I did it anyway, and it didn't really matter whether it was right or wrong. I did it anyway because I wanted to. So that's the problem that we all face with selfishness, and that's why we do what we do. I mean, or not do what we should be doing. I mean, that's the reason. Selfishness has to do with personal interest. Whatever turns me on, whatever excites me, whatever I'm interested in. You know, you can be talking to somebody and they can start talking on a subject you have no interest in, and guess what? you're pretty much going to ignore them. And you're not going to pay attention. Or you might be so wrapped up in what you're looking at, you really don't hear anything else anyone is saying to you. I mean, that it's your own personal interest what captures your attention. And usually selfishness dictates this. By its very definition, we see that selfishness is a problem each of us individually must deal with, and we need to conquer it if we're going to please God. See, that's the hard part, conquering ourself, conquering these things. That's why Jesus said we must deny ourself and take up our cross and follow Him. Ourself is the biggest problem that we have in this world today. It is ourself. We can't blame the government. We can't blame society. We can't blame the environment that we live in. Our biggest problem, everybody's biggest problem, is themselves. I mean, we have to know that. Any sin that you want to talk about has its root in selfishness. There's not a sin. You cannot come up with any sin that somehow self isn't involved, because I wanted to. I want to. And that's all it comes down to. You know, Cain, why was God displeased with this? Well, they had been told what was right, because Hebrews says Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Why? Because he offered what God wanted. Cain decided just to bring his crops, the fruit of the field, and that didn't please God. We know that. And so Cain decided the way to deal with God's displeasure was not to change himself, but to get rid of the one who did right. I mean, the first murder. He killed Abel. And that's what Cain decided to do. You know, David. You know, David took another man's wife and knew her. And she became pregnant. She was going to have a baby. So what did he do? He decided to bring Uriah home and to go into his wife, and maybe they would think it was his child. And he said his honor was not to enjoy himself while his brothers were in the field fighting. So David wrote a letter and had Uriah take to the commander and said, when you get there, you withdraw and let him be killed by the enemy. And this was all rooted in selfishness, because David took what was not rightfully his. But he wanted to. All right, so selfishness has to do with personal interests. You know, by its very definition, maybe we just saw that one. Okay, all right. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. Selfishness motivated them to keep part of the money for themselves, though they pretended to give it all. And then, of course, Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit for this. You've lied to basically everybody. Your lie, even though it was directed towards the people of the church, in a sense, you lied to God Himself. And so their deception was because of selfishness. And 2 Timothy 4, where Paul writes, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And so Demas, what he put what he loved above God and everyone else. So we know that takes place. So what makes people do so many of the awful things that they do to themselves and to one another? You know, whether it be gossip, murder, lying, drugs, alcohol, denying Christ, not being baptized, denominations, false brethren. Why do they do it? Selfishness is the answer. And we have to know that. Now, another thing we learn is that pride and selfishness go hand in hand. If you have pride, then you're really focused on self anyway. So they go together. I mean, they're there. And pride is one of the most basic weapons in Satan's arsenal. You know, 1 John 2, 15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in this world. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Yeah, the pride, the vainglory of life, if you look. See, the New American Standard says the boastful pride of life. NIV says the boasting of what he has and does. Another version says empty pomp or ostentatious vain display of life. I mean, That's a description of pride right there. So what does pride do but fuel the fires of selfishness? And that's what it does. And we know pride goes before a fall. And so God doesn't like it. Pride focuses upon what I want. And so it really doesn't matter. Now, I might want something for somebody else, but still, it's me. The focus is always on me when you have pride. Pride does not allow someone to be considerate of other people. I mean, that just goes without saying. And so if you have pride, you have pure selfishness, and that's all it is. See, Naaman was a man who almost let pride keep him from being healed. He was a leper, and so he went, and the prophet said, just go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He was offended. He didn't like that. So he thought he was just going to go back and probably die a leper. His pride was getting in the way until the servant kind of talked, what's it going to hurt? What have you got to lose? The Jordan's right here. Let's go ahead and do it. See what happens. I mean, so that's what happens. A fellow by the name of Haman. His pride led him to the gallows. In other words, he thought he was so great, high and mighty, that Jews ought to bow down to him and worship him. And then all of a sudden they found out, no, that's not the case. So he was hung on the gallows he had prepared for someone else. See, Eve wished to have something to make her wise like God. And what did it take? Didn't take much. All it just said, the serpent just said, why not? Cain thought any sacrifice was good enough. You know, it doesn't matter that the God had already said what he wanted. He wanted that animal sacrifice. He wanted the blood sacrifice. But Cain said, I'll just give him whatever I want. You know, people in denominations do that today. They give people what they want. Doesn't matter if God said it was to do it or not. They just decide, well, it's good enough. God will accept it anyway. I mean, that's their thinking. See, David thought he could have any woman in the kingdom. Well, if she was unmarried, a virgin, yeah, he could have her. He could take her as his wife. But here's another man's wife. He decided to take her as well. And Demas thought what he loved was more important than what God loved. He loved this present world rather than serving God. And with this in mind, is there any wonder that God so frequently warns us about the sin of pride? You know, you can go through Psalms 12, 3 and 4, and Psalm 18, 27, Psalm 101, and Psalm 119, 21. Proverbs 6 talks about pride, the 7 things God hates. Pride is a big problem with a lot of people. So if I have pride, my pride can lead to selfishness. And of course, selfishness is another word for sin, because we are rejecting God and his word when we do that. God says, don't do it. And my pride says, go ahead and do it. It's not going to hurt a thing. And what happens? I sin. And so what happens if I continue to sin? I continue to reject God and his word. And I'm looking forward to an eternity in hell. That's all I have left. I mean, because I'm not going to go to heaven that way. Now, sadly, a lot of people who are filled with pride, they think they're the ones going to heaven. They really do. Now, what can be done to stop this problem? First of all, I must realize and confess that I am selfish. It's got to be my way. I got to get what I want. You know, this is what we're supposed to try and train our children, not to be selfish, to be considerate of others. But you ever hear the kids fighting, mine, mine, mine? Yeah, we hear that all the time, and they do that. And some kids, now wait a minute, we should share. But some kids don't learn that lesson. And it's always what I want. They're always selfish. I don't care if it hurts anybody. We've seen people do things like that. I don't care if my kids are hurt. I don't care if my wife is hurt. I don't care if my husband is hurt. I don't care if my company is hurt or anything. I'm going to do what I want to do. See, no one will be serious about fixing any problems if they think they don't have it. See, this is where pride comes in. Pride convinces one, hey, I'm the greatest. There's nothing wrong with me. So I can continue to do what I want to do. And that's what pride does. Pride gets us there. And they're not going to even think about trying to fix any problem. I don't have any problems. Now, I can point out all your problems. I can point out the problems of everybody else. I can see all these problems out there in the world. But I don't have any problems. See, that's where pride comes in. You're not going to try and fix it. Now, one thing we can do to stop this problem is, now, how do I compare to God? You know, most people with pride do not look at it that far. They just try and compare themselves with others. They look at other human beings and say, well, I'm better than they are. I'm better than they are. And when you start getting down to it, you can look at all the people in this world, all the nearly 8 billion people. I'm better than most of them. So I'm doing okay. I don't have to fix anything. But see, even in the scriptures, it tells us, what is our standard? Where do we need to be comparing ourselves? Not with the standards of world standards or even our brethren. The standard we have to compare ourselves with is Jesus Christ. He is the one that we need to compare ourselves to. How do I measure up to Christ? How do I measure up to God? Am I God? Well, we know that. That's not true. See, I'm finite. I am nothing. He is infinite and He is everything. And we have to realize that. See, if I can ever get that through my thick skull, I'll be looking for ways to stop serving self and start serving God. Hopefully you all feel the same way. Just getting it through our thick skull sometimes. That's the challenge. Now, when we have a description of God, Isaiah 40 and verse 12, it says, talking about God who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as his counsel has informed him? With whom did he consult, and who gave him understanding, and who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? What human has ever done that? The answer is quite obvious, and Job was making a point there, or Isaiah was making a point there. God is God. And his ways are far superior to our ways in everything. See, that's what Isaiah said later in chapter 55. God's way, or man's ways are not God's ways, and God's path is not man's path. But God's ways are higher than man's ways, and God's thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. And that's true. Jeremiah 10:23, is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. We need to be guided by the Lord. And that's a lesson that was taught to those people so many years ago, and it still rings true today. If we're going to live in this life, we still need to be guided by the Lord. Let the Lord direct our path. Because when we direct our own path, we find ourselves on the wrong path. And so that's what we see there. In Amos chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, for behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind and declares to man what are his thoughts, he who maketh dawn into darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name. I mean, God controls everything. And the quicker we learn that and get it through our thick skull, the better and more receptive we are to hear what God has to say. Either that or we just listen to ourselves. And where's that going to get us? It's going to get us into that fiery torment called hell. You know, God spoke all things into existence. We believe that. You know, Genesis 1 and chapter 2, the beginning of all things. He spoke those things into existence. We read that in Hebrews chapter 11, that God spoke. We believe that by faith, we understand that God spoke all these things into existence. Everything that was made, everything that we see was made by God simply because he spoke it. See, once we get this picture in our mind, perhaps we will understand better why people trembled and hid when they heard the voice of God. I mean, it's a terrifying thing to come into the presence of God. You know, Hebrews talks about that. But Exodus 20, there he was on the mountain. And as God was speaking, the people heard the voice of God. It was like the blast of a trumpet. And they were fearful. They were afraid. They tried to hide themselves. I mean, it must have been just an awesome sight to see that such a noise would come from the heavens. I mean, we've heard thunder before. We've heard loud thunder before. We've heard sounds come from the sky that just really are terrifying. But none of that compares to what these people heard as they stood around the base of Mount Sinai. They actually heard the voice of God. Now, did they comprehend it? Probably not. Just like there are several times in the scriptures, people heard voices, but they did not understand those voices, where some maybe did. And why they said they would die if they saw even an angel of God. You know, God said, no man can see God and live. But in Judges 13, verse 22, I mean, the father of Samson told his mother, when they saw the angel of the Lord, we have seen God. Well, that was a mistake because they wouldn't live. But we saw the representation and God sent us a message. And so whether it's his messenger or whether it is God himself, God speaks. God sent his son to speak to us. And his son sent his disciples and his apostles out into the world, giving them the commands to spread the gospel message everywhere. And so God and Jesus have both spoken to us. And the question is, are we listening? Are we paying attention? See, we see a picture of ourselves as we consider this description of God. Maybe it should humble us, because God is great. God is so good and awesome. He is a whole lot better than we are. God is perfect, and we are not. All we can do is really fall upon his mercy and seek for his grace that he offers to us. And we have to understand that selfishness is detrimental to my soul. And it is. Selfishness will keep one out of heaven. Selfishness will drive one into hell. I mean, that's the way of the world. The world is full of selfishness. And every sin that you can possibly imagine, like I say, is derived in that selfishness. Because this person wanted to do it. Why did that guy rob a bank? Because he wanted to. I mean, why do they steal? Because they want to. Why do they cause harm and murder people? Because they want to. Well, it all gets down to because they want to. Now, maybe they thought, well, if I kill this person, I'll probably go to jail or I'll face execution or something. But they don't think about it at the heat of the moment. I just don't like this guy right now, so I'm going to take his life. And they do that. See, generally, if people do things that hurt themselves or family members, they usually will not continue in that for very long if they love themselves. I mean, doing something that's painful, I don't like to do that. And so, I mean, if I have a splinter in my finger, I really don't like digging in there and digging it out. It's painful. I don't like doing that. And I'm sure most of you probably feel the same way. But sometimes when it comes to hurting the people that you love, well, your selfishness gets in the way, and it really comes down to the point, well, I don't care. I don't care about others. I'm going to do what I want to do. And we see that sometimes in our kids, sometimes in parents have this problem, sometimes the kids have the problem. I'm going to do what I want to do, and you can't tell me otherwise. I'm my own person. Well, true, they are their own person, but if they want to go to heaven, they better pay attention, better wake up. So what could hurt people more than our continued focus on ourselves and excluding others, including our Savior? There's really nothing more hurtful than that. See, if self is coming first, our Lord is not. You know, putting Jesus first. You know, Jesus said one more thing to the young man, one more thing you lack, sell all you have and give to the poor. The man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. I mean, Jesus told him what he needed to do. And a lot of times, Jesus is still telling us individually what we need to do. Here's what you need to do. You need to serve me. You need to obey me. You need to do this for your brethren. You need to do this for others. Jesus is still telling us through his word what we're supposed to do. And what happens? I ain't going to do that. Selfishness gets in there. That's what happens. See, the inspired will of God talks about selfishness in terms no one can misunderstand. Nobody can misunderstand what God is talking about. Are we our own person? You know, Cain asked the question, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. Now, I'm not talking necessarily your physical brother, your fellow man. You are your keeper of your fellow man. And we need to learn that lesson. That's a lesson many people have failed to learn. All right, let's go on. Romans 15. We need to be considerate of others. He says, consider those who are weak. We who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Because this is what Christ did. Was Christ selfish? No. He did not. He was not selfish. He really didn't do anything for himself overall. Now, he may have prayed, I pray that you glorify me. My time is now. I've done what you've asked me to do in John 14. But in Romans 15, Christ, he was not selfish. He wasn't worried about his own hide when he went to the cross. He did it because of you and me. Because of everyone. He died on the cross for everyone. I mean, it was not a selfish act. 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. This is what God wants us to do. And we should be doing that. But selfishness keeps that from happening. Galatians 6:2, we must bear each other's burdens. As Christians, we need to assist and help each other in any way that we can. Sometimes it's financial support, sometimes it's just emotional support. But we've got to be there for each other. And if you never spend time around other Christians, how are you getting that support? You're not. Philippians 2:4, we need to consider others as more important than ourselves. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, the second greatest command. I mean, first command is fear God. I mean, love God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, upon these two rests the whole law. And 1 John 3:17 has much. If anyone has the world's goods and sees their brother in need and does not see to their need, what are you? You've denied the faith. You have no compassion at all, which you're supposed to have. You have nothing in you that even closely resembles a Christ-like attitude. But because when Christ saw someone in trouble, he had compassion on them. And compassion moves one to do something about that situation to the best of their ability. We may not have the millions of dollars just to throw around and throw at people just to make them feel better. But we can still pray and we can share our meals with them. We can do something for people. See, based on these passages, we know that to continue in selfishness is a sin, because sin destroys. So hopefully, may we have the attitude of Christ, not seeking what we want, but the attitude in serving God and considering others as more important than ourselves. That's what we need to do. Self is forgotten in this single aim to save others. And that's what Jesus demonstrated. He was willing to die for others. And we should be also willing to make sacrifices for others. Now, how are we doing along this line? Personal question you have to ask yourself. Am I full of selfishness? Have I been guilty of selfishness? You ask yourself. And then if you have, you've got a decision to make. And what is that decision going to be? That's the answer that only you can answer. So consider that. Selfishness is destructive. If you have any selfishness at all, you're not going to make it to heaven. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. I really want to. So what do I have to do? I have to give up myself. I have to turn myself over to Jesus and to God and do what God wants me to do. And that eliminates what I want to do. Hopefully my mindset is in that stage where I can say, well, I want to serve God in Christ because I want to. And yes, that's where spiritual maturity comes in. We do it because we want to. We gather with the saints because we want to. We sing because we want to. We pray because we want to. We consider each other because we want to. In that case, yeah, that's getting us closer to the model that Christ set for us. But when it comes down to my personal what I want, that is sin. There's not really no other way of saying that. It is sin. And that'll keep you out of heaven. So don't let that happen. We always sing an invitation song to give someone the encouragement to look and examine their life and see if something needs to be changed, to start over again and to get right with God and to seek the assistance of others so that they can do and serve God properly. Consider those thoughts. We're going to sing the invitation song. If anyone has a need, respond. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.